2015, Wednesday, May 27th, 8:28 a.m. I made a recording last night around this topic that I was calling intentional dreaming, which is not what it was, but it was something like it. It's pretty good. I don't know if I can redo it. I'd like to. I feel like I made some pretty good points. Then, this morning, thinking about how important end forms are. End forms as, like, acting as, like, this kind of space you fill out, this medium. It's like they're super important because they represent a next step up in communication, like in your ability to get information from A to B. I mean, from your mind to someone else's mind. And also they kind of create this space for you to fill out. It's like if there is some sort of structure, like say a rhyme scheme, I think that creates draw. So I think it's easy to underestimate how important end forms are and products are. I say that because I often get this feeling like I have creative energy or potency, and it's like there's no way to do anything with it. There's no way to express it. There's no way. It's like this desire to somehow get, it's like not exactly get feedback itself, but create the circuit and get this flow, as opposed to it's just like, it would be like acting in space without having any sense of groundedness, without any sense of like feeling. Where you can move, but you're not feeling anything. So I think I'm going to have to keep saying it, keep emphasizing it, and somehow trying to keep developing out this appreciation of it, because I feel like I still don't appreciate the things that I've done with building out the infrastructure for the Gen project, the ability to take an idea, implement it, put it out, I'd say quickly. I'd say when you have this feeling like there's like this difference in motivation where you could think about doing something, but then it's like, oh, I have to do all this other stuff also. It's like, not just that, that's only like part of the work. And now I gotta do all this other work too. And so now I'm not so enthusiastic about it. And maybe it's like whatever is the other work, you've never done it before. Maybe you don't even know how to do it. Maybe you even start to doubt whether you can figure out how to do it. And so that demotivates. Or it could be the case that it's like you don't even think about that. You're motivated. You start working on it. And then you get to the point where you need to do the rest. And then you lose the motivation. Okay, now take that away. Now make it such that if you can think it up, and you have the motivation to do that first part, then you will practically have done the whole thing. Yet there still is this sense that end forms are learning. And I also want to say something to the effect where until you learn, I guess the harder part is figuring out how to develop them out, but even if you had something that was prescribed, you'd still have to figure out how to get from one point to the other in terms of that end form. Makes it seem like the path is more difficult. And yet ultimately it's not going to be. Ultimately it's going to be easier. So I mean something to the effect where it's like you have some sort of idea, or somehow you're inspired to write a poem, and you'd rather just simply just put out whatever and free verse instead of, say, rhymed couplets. It's like if I have to do this extra work, it feels like, for one thing, it's limiting. I can't really express what I want because now it has to fit into this. For two, I can't even, it's more difficult for me to figure out how to do it. So I'd rather just be able to do anything. Yeah, I don't think that's really the case. I think it's more the case once you become versed in whatever it is, then you start to think in those terms and you start to have this sense of space and what could fill out the space. And it's much more easier for you to go ahead and find a path. Then after you've done that, you say like, all right, this thing that I'm trying to do, it really doesn't fit inside of this thing. And then you break out of it, but you do it in a way that makes sense. You have gotten to the point where you have something that breaks out of it, as opposed to, it's just like you don't want to do the work to learn the thing to begin with. There's also this feeling like, or whatever it is, if you want to be prolific and you're doing everything within such and such a form, then somehow it's like, well, it's not really that much. It's all just variations on this thing. Like Shakespeare, it's all like just a bunch of iambic pentameter. Yeah, that's not really so. I mean, you could say like, all right, all you're talking, it's just a bunch of words. Yeah. Not very good thinking. Another bad way to think about it would be to say something like, if you become versed in it, then you're able to do this stuff at low cost. It's like you're able to produce this stuff cheaply, and maybe to someone else who doesn't know about it, it seems valuable, but it's really not valuable because you were able to make it quickly. The thing that you produce when you're first learning it, that's of lower quality, took you higher cost to do, that's actually more valuable. Because it took more to go into it. The higher quality, better stuff, lower cost stuff that you produce later on, that's actually of lower value because it took you less to make. It's not that there's absolutely no truth in it. There can be a truth in it in a way, like for instance, preferring something that's handmade over factory made. It can be better in the sense that the stuff that is, say, has this factory-made quality to it can also have this hollowed-out quality to it, this soullessness. It can be the case. It's not necessarily the case, though. And so it's just, if you just simply go to that all the time, it's not going to work out. Go to thinking, I can make something be high cost and then get value. And I don't want to lower the costs of things because then I'll remove the value. I don't know to what extent that this thing, to what extent I really think it. Again, with the theory of resistance, it can be present only to like a certain extent, but then that's the key thing. And so resistance would pull on it and make it the big thing, but otherwise, if you weren't at that point, it wouldn't exhibit, I guess I'd say, or at least not so prominently. All right, the thing that is like intentional dreaming, let's see if I cannot go through a bit of that. I was thinking about it something like this. So you have point A. And you have a point B going from A to B. You can go there simply, you can just simply go like in this straight line, or you can take a scenic route. And by scenic route, I mean it's pretty open. You could just be like, well, let's take a turn right here. Let's go down this road. I know that it's eventually going to lead back to some main road, so I can just do it. I can just simply say, all right, let's just turn right here. I just got a feeling that I'll do it, so I'm gonna do it. And then you turn, you make this turn, that turn, and eventually you make it from A to B. So the main drive, the main push is to get from one point to the other, but you have this openness, you have like these degrees of freedom and you kind of let it go, and then after you've done it, probably not as you're doing it, maybe as you're doing it, but probably after you do it, you take what you've done and it's kind of like you leave it open to making further meaning out of it, further interpretation of it. So it's kind of like the itineration stuff. It's different in that the actions that you take are, it's like they have these extra dimensions to them. And you can kind of think of that, you can kind of think of them as being like this channel for information. And it's not necessarily that you will get anything from it. It's that you could. So, how do I say it? You have the main goal to get from A to B. You have the openness, you allow freedom. You have these other goals to make things be aesthetic, and also you're looking for something that's like interesting, curious, mysterious, something like that. Something that somehow seems like it could hold some kind of meaning. It doesn't necessarily have to hold some kind of meaning, and it's not something where it's like you're looking for truth or something like that. I was going through it, I was saying that it reminded me of like, oh, I noticed this, and that's like an omen for this other thing, or divining or something like that, like looking for some kind of answer. That's not what I have in mind with it. What I meant for it is something that's actually more like play or experimentation, where it's like, you wouldn't just notice things for nothing. If you have this feeling of like something sticks out as seeming to have some sort of depth or complexity or intelligence or something like that to it, it could be that whatever that thing is came about as an accident. It doesn't mean that that thing came about intentionally, but you could then try and take that and then try and work with it and try and figure out, okay, but what could I make it mean? Like, what meaning could I get out of it? So I have this notion of, say, the ideas and these different spaces that they're realized in. So it's like you have the idea of the good realized in the Bronze Age, the idea of the good realized in current times. It's like two different things. Current times is like much more complex, and so it means something different. It exhibits in a different way. Okay, now take that notion and apply it to something that you find that seems meaningful. You could then say, okay, we can posit that there are these ideas, they are going to manifest in something that's more complex than what we have now. In the future, they'll somehow exhibit in some way that's more complex, in some different space. What this thing is that sticks out could be somehow representative of it, or could be a projection out of it, or in some way correspond, correlate, and be equivalent to it. So let me see if I can't kind of invent something or discover something from this by trying to figure out, okay, why does this seem like this is meaningful? So it's kind of like this experimentation, looking for phenomena. Also thinking that it's like your conscious will has limited bandwidth in terms of what it's able to intend at once. And so if you're looking to produce complexity, you're going to be limited in your ability to do that by what you can intend from step to step to step. So potentially one way around that, one way to produce complexity and draw on your intuition is to have it be such that you have these extra dimensions that are open. And you can kind of stay in bounds and make things coherent by having the constraint that things say be aesthetic. And you can perceive that. And you can continue on with your conscious intention and yet be influenced by your intuition. And so it ends up being a way to get draw. Again, you're making the movement already from one point to another. Making that movement, and then you leave something open through which this potency can express itself. And it does. That, as opposed to having to have a lot of energy, I guess I'd say. So coming back to end forms, those would be the things that you'd intend to create, and you'd want to make it such that it's possible to create the end form in some very simple way, and yet there are all these additional dimensions to them. Yeah, I don't know. This topic gets a lot of resistance. This topic's not really easy for me to get through at this point. It feels like I'm going to have to keep coming back to it again and again. And it doesn't really matter if it doesn't all come off this time, because it seems to me like this is this theme that's been developing out over a long period of time around images, around intending, intuition, language, etc. So there's a bunch of stuff I'm not going to get to this time. I'm still going to end up getting to it, no doubt.